Om Shanti. It's been said that the longest journey that we ever undertake is the journey from here to here, or here to here, from the head to the heart. Is that your experience? Whose experience is this? So, am I taking up this subject for just a handful? Everyone else doesn't need to hear these things? Okay, let me try again. Whose experience has it been that it's been a long journey from the head to the heart? And it's not just translation that takes time. I think again the translation is from here to here. And it's also maybe a journey that's more significant or needs to be understood more clearly outside of Bharat than in Bharat. Because it seems as if people in Bharat are still at the point where it's very, very easy to access the bhavana, the pure feelings and the trust that comes automatically. Yesterday Moini Ben put it very beautifully that faith is in the intellect, which is more connected with the head, and trust, the bhavana, is more connected with the heart. And so here in Bharat it seems as if it's easier for souls to have that bhavana than for souls outside of Bharat. And at one point when we'd discussed this with Daddy, and it was in the context of being able to take Baba's love or even the love from the Dadis, and Daddy's comment had been that yes, where there's been deception, where there's been a breaking of trust over the years or even historically, then the heart has created defenses so that then it's not so easy to penetrate those defenses. And so it sounds a bit tough, but it's as if the heart has become closed and is unable to experience that love and receive that love because it's protecting itself. Maybe there has been love and that love has been misplaced, or maybe that love has led to deception, and so now there's a defense mechanism that's been generated to protect oneself. And so we'd asked her how to break down that wall, whether for the self or for others. And for the self, she had said, just practice deep, deep soul consciousness. And in that stage, it'll be easy for Baba's love to reach you. Otherwise, how can Baba's love reach you? And for others, she'd said, just keep giving them Baba's unconditional love. Not your love, because then that will create a karmic account and cause more problems. But be able to be an instrument to share Baba's spiritual love. And again, the question had come to her, but really, they're closed. And she'd given a very lovely example. She'd said that if there's a pot that's filled with dirty water and it's too heavy to lift, then you just keep the tap on and the cold water, the cool water, the clean water will gradually eliminate all the dirt in that, and finally you'll be left with a pitcher of clean, clear water. And that's fairly easy to understand, and you can see that there's a change, there's a difference happening. But then she also said that, well, sometimes it's not even that the pitcher has dirty water in it, it's that the pitcher is turned upside down. And so the soul is really unwilling to accept anything. And she said, that's okay. Just still keep the pitcher under the water, because at least the cool, clean water running over the pitcher is going to keep the pitcher soft, is going to make it soft. If the pitcher is left without that, it's going to get so dry that it's going to crack. But at least if the pitcher is kept under that cool, clean water, it's going to remain soft and it's not going to crack. And so the idea that if you continually give Baba's love, then at least that soul isn't going to crack. There's going to be still something to work with. And once something has shifted, then maybe they'll be ready. But if you say, well, you're not ready to receive Baba's love, and you just leave them alone, then the soul that's left isolated in that way gets so dry that the heart cracks. And so what to do for myself and what to do for others in a very simple way. But then further, just my own experience with many, many souls. And whilst jnana's, Baba's knowledge, is still only with the intellect, they understand jnana beautifully. They can answer every question that you put to them or that comes to them. But yet, if there isn't the experience of Baba's love, then sooner or later, they either actually even leave jnana, they separate themselves from Baba's family, and sometimes after being on holiday for a while, there's appreciation and they may come back, but who knows about that. But definitely, souls who've had an experience, and maybe they haven't been able to understand everything perfectly, but yet still, if there's been an experience, then that experience enables them to come close, and then gradually Baba's Smriti helps them understand Baba's jnana also. And so when Baba says, what is the greatest authority? It's the authority of experience. And there are a few basic things that come up in Baba's Smriti nearly every day, or very, very frequently, and sometimes many times in a Murali. And so that's telling me that it's important to take up those particular aspects and be able to experiment with them and experience them. And very, very often, many questions that come to people, I ask them to again go back to the very first lesson, the awareness of the soul and the experience of the soul. And in theory, I understand I'm a soul, otherwise I wouldn't be with Baba. But to what extent am I experimenting with that idea in two different ways? One, the period when I'm not in action and everything is quiet, the physical senses are quiet, I don't have to give my attention to anything else. And at that moment, experiencing the deep stage of exactly who I am and the feeling that comes with that. And the second, as Baba says, as you walk, as you speak, as you look, as you talk, is it in soul consciousness? And when you start checking yourself, you'll see that the tone of your voice when you are speaking in soul consciousness is quite different to what you used to say and how you used to say it. Somebody said to Daddy, and their tone is a little bit strong, and they said to Daddy, but what can I do? My voice is like that. That's how I am. And Daddy asked them, who is I? Is it the nature of the soul to speak with a harsh tone? Or is it the nature of the soul to speak with a sweet tone? And little things like this, but you know for yourself. In soul consciousness, when you look at another, what is the quality of your vision towards them? And at that moment, you're remembering their history and their story. Or is it really that the soul is seeing the beauty of the other soul? And so will be the quality of interaction when I have this pure bhavana, this pure feeling of who I am and who they are, and what is our eternal relationship together. Or even more than that, not just that we are points of light and we both live in Paramdham, but this Brahman soul is also a deity soul. And Mama would remind them in the early days, and it was the young sisters who were living together in Kunj Bhavan. And when I say the young sisters, it was people like the ones we call the Dadis. So at that time, way back, they were young sisters, and they would come with a complaint about somebody. And Mama would say to them, do you remember in bhakti, you used to go in front of the idols and praise them and worship them and have such pure love in your hearts for them? Well, do you realize that this soul is that living image today of the deity you used to worship? And so when I remember that this soul is a deity soul, and the Brahman family generally are deities in the making, Baba doesn't see that we're in the making. Baba sees the future, and Baba sees the past, and that then changes the vision at the present. And so seeing the deity soul. And so the practice of soul consciousness, you can see that while it's in the head, it has absolutely no impact on my day-to-day activity at all. And then I say, but I'm not seeing any transformation in myself. Then of course, when I'm not seeing transformation in myself, I become cynical about others. And I say, well, show me who has changed. I don't see anyone has changed here. And so the discontent with the self then creates the discontent with others also. And when I'm seeing the transformation in myself, it's because I'm practicing the awareness that Baba wants me to have. And through that experience and the feelings that are generated through that experience, I see the difference. What was I like before, and what am I now? And of course, transformation in terms of awareness can happen through practice, but deep transformation is then stamped only through the power of yoga, because the sanskars can only change through yoga. And so I need to be doing both things. And so my experience and my feelings today will facilitate the experience I'm having now in terms of relationships and action, but also the yoga power will keep that transformation alive and make it permanent. And so where people say that, well, when I'm in Madhuban, everything is fine, I don't have a problem with anyone. Well, there can be many factors for this. And one factor definitely is that the souls you generally have karmic accounts with, and I'm not talking about only Lokik, but it's Lokik and Alokik both, but the souls that we're normally close to and interacting most frequently with, well, they're in a different space. If they're in Madhuban, I'm in a different space, and Madhuban is so big, you don't generally need to see them. And if maybe they're not here, they're in their own place still, and I'm here, of course, distance is great to be able to create that feeling of newness, so that's fine. But also, in Madhuban, I'm paying attention to myself and my own effort and my own awareness. And back there, I don't give it that same attention. And of course, here again, the power of the atmosphere, and that's stimulating my own effort. So there are these classes, many things happening. But if it's only left to that awareness and experience in a temporary way, and a good feeling that comes from that, what's going to happen when I get back to my base? Baba says, Madhuban is home, and that's your service place. But when I get back there, I didn't do enough yoga to be able to change my reactions and my sanskaras. So everything the same back there, and again, that's lost. And so to keep the Madhuban feeling and experience, I need to have yoga. And so Madhuban, of course, provides me with that opportunity, but then I have to take that opportunity and use it. So I've explained just one aspect of soul consciousness. But another thing, in terms of moving from just the theory to the feeling, the heart. And it's funny because, in fact, it's all in here. It's not so much here, but it's all in here. It's the soul that has the heart. It's not the physical heart that Baba's talking about, that Baba has stated in Sakar Muralis and also in the Avyat Muralis, that feelings are within the soul, not anywhere else. We know that. But Sakar Murali, there was one in which Baba said, the heart is in the soul. And early days, it was questioned a lot. But then we had very clear explanations of all that. So it's all in here. But that shift from just the theory and then the actual feeling, one of the things that Baba talks about practically every Murali is churning. Churning the ocean of knowledge. And Baba sometimes says that it's only when you churn knowledge that that knowledge actually belongs to you. What does that mean? It means that on one level I'll say, well, you know, Baba tells us this. Or even further away at a distance we'll say, well, the Brahma Kumaris tell us this. But somebody who's had the experience of all this will say, I know that this is so. It won't just be that Baba has said this, or that the Brahma Kumaris are saying this, but now it will be that I know this. And that transformation or that journey happens when I've thought very deeply about the things that Baba's telling me. And without accepting what Baba is telling me, first with faith, I believe, but from the I believe to the stage where I know, that transition happens through deep, deep reflection, the churning that Baba talks about. And yes, Baba also says that when you churn knowledge, then you have intoxication. And that feeling that, yes, I have found Baba, I belong to Baba, Baba belongs to me. Not just when you're in front of Baba Dada and Baba asks us to raise our hands. And Baba often says that, yes, you make Baba very happy by showing your hands. But then what happens afterwards? Somewhere along the line, things disappear. Maybe even a few hours later, you've had this intoxicating Murli and Baba's presence and magnetism has really pulled you into a different consciousness. But that was Baba's power. And then you're waiting for the bus. And you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting. And within the space of a few hours, I know it's tough, but within the space of a few hours, by the time you're back in your bed, what happened to that intoxication? You know, when Baba says that people who go on pilgrimage have to really, really struggle with the elements and circumstances and challenges. And here it's very, very minor compared to all the challenges of bhakti. The things that we have to deal with, really not much at all. And yet, of course, we forget that. And Baba's power has given us that intoxication at that moment. But it's not through my own effort. It came as a gift and it flew away because I allowed other things to come in. If it came in, yes, a gift from Baba, if I nurtured that feeling and I maintained that awareness, no problem. I'd say, that's okay. If I have to wait another 45 minutes, it's okay. It gives me more time to reflect and experience the beauty and the truth of what Baba gave me tonight. And you're with others, and so you share and you exchange, and it's great. So, one particular situation that I'm talking about, but it's something very specific that Baba mentions. Only when you churn will there be intoxication. The Hindi expression is, when you grind your own ingredients, that gives you intoxication. And the context of that is, just think about how when you buy a ready-made package of curry powder, when was it done, what ingredients were put in, and how long ago it was manufactured and packaged. And it's fine, it's okay, it'll give you a tiny little flavor. But when you see in Madhuban kitchens and they're grinding those spices fresh, and even from a distance you get the aroma of those spices, really, physically. And so when they've ground them and they've done it themselves at home, you know what the ingredients are, you know when it was done, and it's fresh. And you get the aroma even from a distance, and it tastes different also because of that. And so, grind your own ingredients. You know, we hear these expressions in the Murli, and sometimes somebody explains, or we reflect on them, and sometimes, I don't know how you position it. Maybe you think, well, it's just something cultural. But it's a very real thing. And so the ingredients of Baba's knowledge, grinding them. Think about the spice. There's a stick of cinnamon. What can you smell from it? What's the aroma from that? A tiny bit. But when you grind it, and then you're hit with the aroma, it's strong. And so, Baba's Gyan, and yes, it feels lovely because it's answering my questions. But then, when I've really grounded, I've gone into the depths of it, then I'll say, yes, now I know what Baba's talking about. Now I know what it means. Now I know what it feels like. There was a time when Daddy was using words that were very, very similar. And then we asked her to define each of these words separately. And that gave me a very interesting insight into how to churn. And just one very simple formula that I was taught way, way back at the beginning of my Brahman life. And sometimes churning isn't so easy, just doing it on your own. But start writing. And when you start writing, then it clarifies things for you. And in my early days in Gyan, right through for some years actually, I can date it from 1968 October till about 1971. Maybe even later, no, around there. I used to write. And it wasn't because I had to necessarily give lectures, but it was a preparation for myself. And it was to keep myself engaged, not to give my intellect time for any wasteful thoughts. This is why Baba sometimes says that, when do you have time for waste thoughts? If you're doing the work that Baba's asked you to do, churn and experience and experiment. Never mind service, that's an external thing. But all of these things are time for you. And if you're doing that work inside, there's really no time for waste thoughts at all. And so this time Baba asked us for this gift of waste thoughts. It proves that truly Baba is Bholanath, the innocent Lord. Who else would say to you, okay, come, give me your rubbish and I'll give you diamonds instead. And so really, take Baba's diamonds and look at them, appreciate them, see how they sparkle and keep yourself happy with that and give Baba all the other stuff. But so one very simple formula I was taught very, very early on was just ask yourself the question in terms of a gyan topic, not about a situation, but in terms of a gyan topic, why, what, how, when, that's it. Somebody gives you an opportunity to talk about the subject of peace. What are you going to do? Just take up this little formula. Why, what, how, when? Easy. But don't just think about it. Actually write it and engage yourself in it. Go deep into it. And Daddy gave us her formula, her personal formula. And I'll share the Hindi words because I don't have very precise translations of the words that she was using. I can share with you the concept, but not the precise translation in words. And so she used the word first, manan, and just simply reflecting on what Baba has said. And she was taking up the context specifically of Baba's Murli, because it's a question that many people have. Yes, I've heard the Murli and Baba says churn, and so how do I churn? And so just the revision in your mind. What did Baba say? And if I haven't been paying attention and my mind was distracted by who's coming late to class or how are they sitting, who else is in the class and all of these things, then what's going on? But I'm focused on I, the soul, hearing God speak and getting rid of the awareness of the reader, big time distraction. I like the tone of their voice, I don't like the tone of their voice, I don't like the way they sit. You can see all those things can interfere. But I, the soul, listening to Baba. And in that awareness, I'm taking in what Baba's saying. It's registering. And even if not 3 pages stay, but even if 4 points stay in my intellect after I've finished hearing the Murali, then those 4 points, firstly, revise manan. It's the mind getting engaged and the thoughts. And the next stage, she said, was chintan. Not just a revision of that, but where it's gone deep inside of you, and it's not just a conscious thought that you have, but it's something that's staying with you. It's very related to the word chinta, worry. And think about how a thought becomes a worry. You've been thinking about something, and you've thought about it so much that it's now caught hold of you. And even without your having to press the button to think about it, now it's there with you. And whatever else you're doing, that underlying current of thought is there. And so maybe I'm talking to you, but that worry is with me and it's not leaving me. And so within a very little while, I'll come up with it and say, whatever it is we're talking about, but I'll say, but you know, this and this and this is what's going on. And so it'll come into my speech again and again. And it doesn't need a psychologist to tell you, well, that's something that's really bugging you. It's now deep inside of you. But think about the daddies. You go talk to them about any situation. And whatever it is you're talking about, within a minute, not even 2 minutes, they'll say to you, but Baba said this, Baba said this. And that's what they've done. Gyan is there automatically inside of them. And so they don't have to think, what did Baba say today or what did Baba say yesterday? It's there because they've been reflecting on it. It's been going around in their mind and it's there with them. And so that second stage, chintan. Then the third stage, manthan. It's now not just there inside of you, but you're gaining new insights. It's not just words that are there anymore. That churning is giving you deep insights and realizations, and it's changing your feelings. I won't ask who's tried that with a Murali, but if anybody has tried it and experimented with it in this way, they will literally feel how their feelings have changed and their attitude has changed to things and people. Because now there's a new awareness, a new understanding, a deep realization. And if this is happening on a daily basis, you can see transformation is very fast. And then if transformation isn't happening like this, what's going on. There's other things that I've picked up and they're occupying space and I'm worried about them and I'm not giving space to Baba's jewels. And so churning brings insights and it brings realizations. And of course, Dadi had taken the analogy further and she said how when you churn the cream, then what surfaces on top is the butter and what's left down below is the buttermilk. But both are valuable. The process of churning gives you A, the essence. You now have the essence of Baba's knowledge, and that essence is in your feeling and in your heart. And that essence is the nourishment that you need, the power that you need to be able to move forward and overcome whatever is in your way. Without that power of nourishment from the essence, we get stuck with things and the mind goes round and round and it's the churning of water. And if you churn water, you know what happens? You get tired and you're left not with anything very useful, but just a lot of tiredness. And so the churning of cream, the beautiful things that Baba gives you, then yes, you're getting the essence and the nourishment to deal with situations and change them. But also the buttermilk. In India and also the Middle East, buttermilk is used as a drink to cool you down when it's very hot outside. Whatever name they used to call it, but that's what it is. And so when I've been through that process of churning, then the heat and the passion that I had, passion in a negative way, the passion that I had about something or another, and it was causing reactions inside of me and maybe probably outside also. But those reactions cool down. And the beauty of the whole of Baba's knowledge, not just the essence, but the whole of Baba's knowledge is clear to me. It's with me. And I carry that. And so when other people challenge me, I'm not shaken by those challenges. I have the answer. And it's an answer that's come from within because it's my experience. And so you can see that when Baba says, stable, unshakable, immovable, that sort of stability comes when you've experienced Baba's knowledge and it's there within your heart and your feelings, and so nobody can challenge you. Or even if the challenge comes, but the authority of your own experience enables you to pass the challenge and be able to go on. But if it's not there through the churning and I haven't experienced the width and the breadth and the height of the beauty of knowledge, I don't have the capacity to deal with those things. Early days we used to say that Lokic families challenge or Lokic friends challenge. And now people say, but you know, I was fine, but then I read XYZ on the internet and I'm really shaken by what I've read. And this is not an advertisement for you to go onto those websites. But it happens a lot in the Brahmin family. Or maybe you haven't, and your family has, because they're concerned about you. And so they go onto the website to find about Brahma Kumaris, and they land up in the wrong place because there's a few people who are paranoid and obsessed. And that's what it is. It isn't a whole big army of people out there. It's a handful of people, and we know who they are mostly. But they get shaken by what they read. And so, what happened to my own experience? And if I haven't shifted from the head to the heart through my own experience, I'll be shaken. Whether it's people saying, I read this about the Brahma Kumaris, or whether you've read this about the Brahma Kumaris, and they'll be having questions about what you've read and coming and asking, well, what about this, this, and this? And there's an answer, very clear, fine. But to get shaken and to be upset and to get confused, well, it means that I haven't made that shift. But also, just me, let me just say that if there is something causing confusion, sometimes people say to me, we want to work it out for ourselves, but how long are you going to give it? Give it 24 hours and no more. Really, if you've been able to work out an answer for yourself by churning Baba's knowledge, and you've got an answer that you feel, not just in your head, and you know how to deal with whatever it is that's bugging you, fine. And if it's taking longer than 24 hours, don't let it carry on. Just come and find out. Go to whoever it is you trust. And if that is not accessible, which I understand, write a note and give it to whoever is convenient on hand, and make sure that that gets passed on. And maybe the dadis won't have time to meet you individually, but they'll answer you. They'll find a way, whether it's in a class or whatever, whatever. But that stage of being immovable and unshakable, so that nothing shakes my faith, that comes when I've experienced, and the experience comes through my churning and then applying that insight and realization. The other stage that happens as a result of churning, manthan, and then simran, that's the soundless chant that goes on inside the mind. And so, I've been experiencing, who is Baba? I've been experiencing, what is my home? I've been experiencing the cycle. Baba gives us this very beautiful title, Swadarshan Chakradhari. Not testing your Hindi, but you've heard this many times. And so, seeing the self through the whole cycle. And don't spend too long in the copper age. But yes, the Brahman, the deity, the Brahman, the angel. Brahman, an angel, and deity, the seeker, and the worshipper. And then coming to Baba again. And so, this title that Baba gives us, there was one particular season in which Baba was conducting drills every single Murali. And I was remembering that the other day, because this season, it's been a very short season anyway, but this season Baba hadn't done that so much. And of course, you have a thought and Baba fulfills it. And it must have been not just my thought, but many people must have had the thought. And Baba did two drills in one Murali, not just one, but two. But Baba did a drill with us about the beauty of the angelic stage, how God has found us, then the beauty of the deity stage, then the beauty of the worship-worthy stage and the worshipper, and then the Brahman stage. And that full year, we went through that cycle, each one individually and personally. And so many people must have told me, I now understand why Baba says, spin the discus. And until Baba had given us the drill and made us experiment with it, it wasn't clear. And so these are the main topics that Baba picks up, and churning these and making them my experience with my own feelings, then it goes around in my mind. The soundless chant, Baba, the relationships with Baba, and all the other aspects of Baba's knowledge. And then from that chant, the Simran, the Smriti. And the Smriti, the awareness, the remembrance, and something that's inside you. Not that because now it's 7 o'clock we have to remember Baba, or 4 o'clock and I'm supposed to be sitting for Amrit Vela. But no, I want to be with Baba as much as possible. It's a joy to be having the opportunity to sit with Baba. How do you approach Amrit Vela? Do you do it because you have to? You're supposed to? Because your roommates will see whether you get up or not? Or is it with that love and deep feeling that I'm going to be meeting my beloved? And so, big difference. And this practice that leads to that stage where there's this smriti, this awareness and feeling. And of course, then you've heard that sentence that Baba speaks about, the smriti, the awareness, and then that affecting your attitude and your vision and your actions in the world. So that's been explained many times. So that feeling, and let me speak a little bit about relationships with Baba especially. But it's that same process of revising and reflecting and churning and coming to that awareness. But how often have you heard, make Baba your friend? And if you just say, I want to be with Baba, I want to make Baba my friend, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. But if you've gone through these steps of reflection and churning, etc., then now, through your own effort, not as a gift from Baba that's come, but through your own effort, you've come to that feeling of what it's like to have Baba as your friend. And then Baba's your friend, and you'll be able to re-emerge that feeling every time you want it to happen. For sisters, it's relatively easy to experience Baba as the beloved. I don't hear so many brothers talk about this experience. Why? Getting away from the awareness of this and coming to that awareness of just the soul in love with God and being God's bride, it's more of a challenge. You really have to finish the consciousness of the identity of the male. For sisters, it's easy, Baba the husband. But also, of course, to come to that full experience, of course you have to get rid of this. But for brothers, it's a bigger hurdle to cross, it seems. But I've heard people like Jagdish Pai speak very beautifully, very sincerely, of the experience of Baba the Beloved, and Jagdish Pai very much in a male body, but of the beauty of being God's bride and just in love with God. And so I need to work on myself to come to that experience. We don't always know what is the inner work we need to do. And it's this, the churning of knowledge. There isn't any other inner work, But just simply this, and the transformation of the soul will become very natural and easy. Sometimes you're fighting with our sanskaras. But no, use the method that Baba has given. A couple of other pointers about moving to the heart. Appreciation. Think about God's help to you before Gyan, and God's help for you since you came to Baba. Emerge those experiences, and out of your heart, give thanks to God, that appreciation and the gratitude for what you received already. Think about how much you've transformed up until now, and appreciation of that, and a big thank you from your heart to God. And that feeling of giving thanks will open up the heart to experience God's love and your love for God also. Just as with human beings, when you deeply appreciate what someone's done for you, then there's a very pure love that emerges in your heart for them. And so what Baba's done for you and your love for Baba emerging through that. Baba sometimes says, think about your attainments. It's linked a little bit with your transformation, but also more than that. And so what have I received from Baba? And just appreciation of that. And so that attainment, again, giving you an experience of a feeling of deep love for God. So think about the moments when you have had powerful experiences in yoga and the feelings of those. And just think about what were the factors that let that happen, that allowed it to happen. Think about the help you've had from the family. All of us have been supported by so much from the family, and we don't always appreciate that. And so important to have that appreciation and the feeling of love for the family. That's going to remind you of who gave you this family and why the family has been so open and helpful. And so again, a deeper love for God. And so let's now experience all of these things in Baba's remembrance. And so go very deep into the awareness of the soul, the awareness of God having found you and making you belong to Him, and the awareness of how much God has given you. And so feel Baba's love for you, and it will awaken your love for Baba also. Om Shanti.